chapter 1, verses 23-25 again. Look in the mirror and don't forget, part 3. Now, some of you that were here right after worship practice and before Sunday school this morning, you know that Connie had lent this mirror to me to use, and it's been up here the last few weeks as a prop. And I had it propped up here, and I checked it, and it sat there for 3 days with no problem. And I don't know who of you I'm supposed to blame for making it fall. You're supposed to laugh. None of you were close to it. Watch it. The mirror fell and it shattered. We cleaned it up. Thank you to those of you that helped me clean it up. Treva, I am glad you weren't standing up here because some of those pieces would have very possibly cut your leg. You know, the problem is there are some of you that you don't spend hardly any time in God's Word because somewhere in the past someone said or did something to you and everything about God's Word that you knew shattered. And you felt like you were left with an empty framework. Some of you, God's Word is like this missing mirror because you've never taken the time to sit in Bible study or to pay attention in service and let someone anointed and called of God to teach and preach. So I'm going to tell you, of everything I do as a pastor, the two highest things God has called me to do is to preach the Word and to teach the Word. And somewhere along the way, you had somebody that in your world, God's Word was shattered. And my desire is for it to be restored to you so that it becomes one of the most wonderful things you do with your day. I like what my older son has started saying. He's like, in spite of how busy I am, Dad, I know every day I better have my Jesus time. And he finds some place to get the Word and to be quiet and to read the Word and to pray. And if you tell me you're too busy for Jesus time, my response to you, my response to myself is if I'm too busy for Jesus time, I'm too busy. And in all honesty, you're not too busy. You just need to learn how to manage your time better. So I'm going to go ahead and set this empty frame up here this morning, and eventually we're going to put a mirror back in it. I have to find one that size, and we're going to put a mirror back in it. But I want you to understand that this particular little series that we're doing of looking into God's Word as a mirror, I don't want anyone to think that I am pointing fingers at anybody and saying, this is you. I'm simply telling you what God's Word says and what the Spirit has laid on my heart of what we need to understand about what God's Word is telling us and how to use it. In James chapter 1, verses 22-25, James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Understand, it's not about how much of the Bible did you read. It's about how much of God's word are you attempting to obey. Let that soak in a minute. And I will tell you, as a youth pastor, I was guilty of this. I would just ride my kids. You need to read at least 3 chapters every day of the year so you can read the whole Bible through in a year. There are a few of you in this body that you're at a point in your walk with Christ, you probably should try to read the Bible through in 1 year. I'm just curious, how many of you have at least once in your life read the entire Bible through in 1 year? I will tell you, if that becomes your goal, 3 chapters a day, every day without fail, you'll get through the entire Bible in 1 year. Okay? I did it with 3 a day, but maybe 5 on Sunday. But it is possible. However, I would rather know that you are looking into God's Word and reading 5 verses a day and allowing God to grow that and implement that into your life and you become obedient to those 5 verses than for you to read 3 chapters and not know what you read. Now, some of you are at a point, if you're only doing 5 verses a day, you're just being lazy. All right, I would tell you, if your pastor only reads 5 verses a day, I'm being lazy. Because where I'm at in my walk, my years of walking with the Lord, I need to take in more of that because that's just where I'm at. But I need you to start thinking of God's Word every time you look into it. It is a mirror, and we talked about this. Go to the next slide. I asked the question, and I put this up last week. Why do you look in a mirror? And the best answer I had was this one. It says it's to see what I cannot see. To see that which is impossible for me to see without a mirror. I've got news for you. I do not care how long you've walked with the Lord. There are things that the enemy will try to slip into our life that you will never realize are there until you look into the mirror of God's Word. That's why James says in chapter 1, do not merely listen to the Word. For us today, it could actually say, do not merely read the Word and so deceive yourselves. Remember that when James wrote this, not everybody had their own Bible because they didn't have books like we do. They had scrolls and they were expensive. So a single house church would have as many scrolls as they could afford, or a local synagogue would have a set of scrolls, but not everybody did it. So they listened to the Word more than they read it. So do not merely listen or read the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens or reads the Word but does not do what it says is like a person who looks at their face in the mirror, and after looking at themselves, they go away and they immediately forget what they look like. But the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what they have heard or read, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Last week, I also brought this little thing up, and I was so proud of all of you that were here. I was afraid some would get overly confused, and none of you did. Those of you that weren't here, you missed this question. Have you ever seen your own face? No, you have not. It is impossible for you to see your face. You have seen in a mirror a reversed two-dimensional representation of your face. In a photograph, you see a two-dimensional representation, but you've never seen your own face. It's impossible. And even if you could pull your own eyes out and turn them around, if somebody said, well, it still wouldn't look like what everyone else sees because your eyes wouldn't be there. But God has allowed us in the natural to create mirrors so we can at least look and make sure that our hair is somewhat straight. Our makeup is on for those ladies that wear makeup. That our tie is straight. That our shirt is buttoned properly. That we don't have a big old stain on our shirt. We have mirrors. God's Word is the same way. Because friend, I do not care how long you walk with the Lord. You can never truly assess your own spiritual condition in and of yourself. It's impossible. Oh, He sees it perfectly. And He gives us His Word as a mirror. And He says, look into my mirror frequently so that I can point out to you those things you need to deal with. Which takes us back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Find it if you will, please. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. If you're close to somebody, look at them and say, we're in the last days. And these are terrible, perilous times. Amen? And verse 2, he says, people. No, don't go ahead yet. Back up on the slides. Thank you. People will be. Is there anyone sitting here that does not qualify as a people? As a person? You're a person, right? You see, as I studied several weeks ago, and as I allowed the Spirit to direct me where we needed to go, He took me to this chapter, and he brought to my attention, it doesn't say sinful people. It doesn't say wicked people. It doesn't say unchurched people. It says people. And that includes us. There's not one thing on this list that we're looking at that you and I are not capable of becoming if we do not look into the mirror of God's Word on a regular basis and make sure we keep it washed off of us. Amen? Amen? Have any of you men in here ever tried to shave without a mirror? I would not dare, especially under here, because I can nick and cause this to bleed even with a mirror. Ladies, how many of you have ever tried to put on your makeup without a mirror? What was the results?
Terrible.
I've got one thumbs up and one terrible. Listen to me. If you try to walk the walk that Christ has called you to without looking into the mirror of His Word, it's going to be a mess. And some would say, oh, but He's given me the Holy Spirit to walk alongside of me. But you know what? The Holy Spirit walking alongside of you is not going to do you one bit of good if you're not following the instructions to look into the Word, which is the mirror. Amen? But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be, and let me see if we're here on the first one. Here, we're going to start with the ones we looked at over the last 2 weeks. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful. Go ahead. Proud. Abusive. I can't read that one. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. And we talked about that one. That means to be without natural family affection. That word in the Greek is the root of why we have things in our society like child abuse, sexual abuse, abortion, euthanasia, all of those things, because people are without proper family love and affection. Unforgiving. Okay, stop right there. Now we're up to this week's. The next five things he talks about are this. The first one on that list is people will be slanderous. Slanderous. Another word term we could put there is they will be false accusers. The word slanderous means a spoken word that is false and or malicious. Who is the father of lies? When you speak a word that is meant to hurt, and here's the thing, it can either be false or true. Just because it's true doesn't mean you need to be saying it. Let's try that again. Just because you know something about somebody and it may be true doesn't mean you need to share it. Especially if your motive is to cause them hurt or embarrassment. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I've grown up in the church, and sometimes the church is one of the worst places for slanderous, malicious talk. But we disguise it so well. I've joked about this, but it's really not a joke. Betty, church people never gossip. And gossip is part of being slanderous, okay? We never gossip. We share. Oh, now, Sister Georgia, this is not gossip. I just need to share with you what I can tell, what Shepard about Patricia. Mm-hmm. And while I'm thinking of it, it also involves Treva. Now, I'm not gossiping, and don't let it go any further, but I need to share this with you. And the juicier it is, I'm going to share in love. Well, you say we say to pray for it. Can I tell you? We need to be very careful. There are some of us that we offer it up as a prayer request and it's nothing but gossip. Slanderous. Did you know that if you write it and it's false, it's called libel and you can go to prison? If you speak it and somebody can testify that they heard you and it's false and you meant it to be malicious to hurt somebody, you can go to prison for it? Yeah. Look in the mirror of God's Word and say, Lord, if there's any point where I am guilty of trying to be slanderous with my speech. Oh Lord, help me be cleansed of that. Help me to remove that from my life. I don't need it. I don't want to do anything that calls attention to the father of lies. The next thing on the list that we need to be looking out for is, he says, people will be without self-control, or people will be without self-discipline. That means to be powerless. It's a lacking the fruit of the Spirit in your life. How many fruit of the Spirit are there? No. There's one. It's made up of 9 parts. Now, you say, does that really matter? Yes. You know why? Because a lot of people look at that list of 9 and they say, well, I have this one and this one and this one, but I don't have those others yet. But that's not what God desires. God wants you to have the fruit of the Spirit with all 9 of those qualities showing up. Now, some you'll be better at than others. I think one of the ones that a lot of us struggle with the most is the one we're talking about, and that is a lack of self-control. Well, Treva, you have to understand, I can't help having the temper I do because my ancestors are Irish and German and my mama was a redhead. I've heard some say, well, you see, I can't help being that way because of my ethnicity. I can't help being that way because of. No, you're that way because you lack self-discipline and self-control. I will admit, as a teenager, I used that excuse. I can't help this bad temper. I got Irish on one side and German on the other. By cracky, and it's just part of who I am. Until the one day that I let that temper get out of control, not at anybody, and my daddy walked up. I didn't even know that he was around, and daddy walked up. He put a finger in my face. He says, you either control it with your heavenly father or your earthly father is going to help you control it. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, Andres, I learned a whole lot of self-control in that 2 minutes. If you struggle with a lack of self-control, the answer is to look into the mirror of God's word and say, Lord, let the fruit of your Holy Spirit begin to grow in my life and help me to work on that. Let that become stronger and more evident. But the problem is, you're not going to recognize that it is a problem until you look into the mirror of God's word on a regular basis. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? Not counting the one I broke on the floor. How many of you looked, get your hands up. How many of you looked in the mirror this morning? I bet several of you did and didn't even think about it. See, I guarantee you, if I were to go around the church this week and to strategically place small mirrors at various places in the foyer, around up here, more mirrors around, I guarantee you, many of you, you would walk by and without realizing it, when you saw there was a mirror, you would for a moment, just a moment, you would stop to make sure to check yourself in the mirror, even if you didn't realize it and do it consciously. May you become that aware of God's word and check into it every day. Check up on your spiritual well-being. Amen? The next thing that Paul tells Timothy people will be is they will be brutal, fierce, savage. Isn't that what we think of when we hear brutal, savage? We think of those people that are mean. We think of the man who comes home every night and he slaps his wife, punches the kids, and kicks the cat. Brutal, savage. We think of the woman who's domineering her husband's henpecked. The only thing that he says that makes her happy is when he says, yes, dear. But can I tell you that if that's your only concept of the word brutal, you're only partially right, because I found an interesting definition that I think most of us in the church are probably more guilty of than we are being mean and nasty. You ready for this one? brutal, being direct and lacking any attempt to disguise unpleasantness. I had to read that one again and go, ooh. Being direct and lacking any attempt to disguise unpleasantness. Now, I'm only speaking about me. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to me when I read that. He said, you excuse it as simply being blunt and straightforward and honest. When he says, in reality, son, you're being brutal. It doesn't mean you don't speak the truth. It doesn't mean that you're not honest, but there are times what we pass off as I'm just blunt and you just got to take it whether you like it or not. That's who I am and I'm going to speak the truth to you. No, you're being brutal. Oh, Lord, when I look into the mirror of your word, remind me every day that I can speak truth in love. I can speak truth without offending people. Next one. They're not lovers of the good. It's not just that they love the bad. They don't love the good. They're hostile to virtue and to anyone who attempts to live a virtuous life. There are people out there, if we're not careful, we can see somebody trying to improve themselves, to better themselves, to do the good thing, the right thing. And if we're not careful, for whatever reason, we can just hate it. I think one of the problems that we face, one of the biggest mistakes we make is we bring somebody and we introduce them to Jesus Christ and we tell them, you start doing the right thing, you start living the good life, and it's going to improve for you. I think we need to be honest with them and say, you know what? If you start following Jesus, some of your own family is going to stop liking you. Why? Because they don't like the good. Do you know why a lot of people don't like to see you doing the good? Because it reminds them of how far away from Christ they really are. It makes them feel guilty. They're convicted. I'll never forget. This kind of stuff happens all the time when you're a pastor. I was at an event, and this has been several years ago. I was an event for the schools. It was a barbecue. And I'm at the football stadium. And I'm hanging out there. There's some of the other parents around. And there was a particular person that looked at me and he says, well, it was about time to go. It was winding down. He goes, well, excuse me for saying this, preacher, but I'm going to go home and sit down and relax and have me a couple of beers. Why did he feel compelled to say that? Because I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. And can I tell you, most of us know that when we're doing things that are not good for us, we know it. We don't have to be told that. And for some reason, I was a youth pastor. I worked with an engineer, a lady, and we had to make a trip to a job site one day. A big, heavy door kind of smashed her hand a little bit, and she let go with some four-letter words. And she caught herself, and she knew I was a youth minister as well as working at the firm. And she says, oh, excuse me. You know what? If you can cuss in front of Jesus, if you can smoke in front of Jesus, if you can get drunk in front of Jesus, you can do those things in front of me. Because you know what? Whether I'm there to see it or know it or not, he's always there with you. We, though, as fellow believers in Christ, need to make sure we don't allow this where we stop being lovers of the good, because I have seen people in the church get angry and upset when a fellow church member was trying to improve themselves and grow closer to the Lord. You know what? If Ron's attempt to become a better follower of Christ offends you, what you need to do is you need to work on being a better follower of Christ, then that won't offend you. Does that make sense? People will be. Look in the mirror of God's word. Lord, don't let me be one of these. Don't let this even start in my life. And the moment it does, help me get rid of it. And finally, the fifth one is they will be treacherous. They will be traitors. That means to be guilty of or involved in betrayal and or deception. Oh, Pastor, we don't have that in the body of Christ, do we? Yeah, we do. Every time you walk out the doors of this building and you go and start talking to somebody else behind my back about the pastor, you're being treacherous. When you walk out of here and you start talking about a brother or sister in Christ to somebody else, you're being treacherous. I'm just sharing in love, Pastor. See, we're better at excuses than we are about following God's word. Now you say, well, Pastor, is there ever a time? Yes, there is a time to sometimes talk to somebody, so-and-so struggling, and we need to be their support. We do need to pray for them. We need to go and spend time with them. But make sure when you talk about somebody, inspect your motive. Am I doing it because I want to impress Mary with the knowledge I have that she doesn't have? Am I sharing this with Georgia because I want Doug to look bad in her eyes? Am I doing this because I think that Connie did something to me and I want to get back at her? Or am I sharing it because the person I'm sharing it with I know is going to be a true prayer warrior and we're going to be able to benefit that person? We wind up today by going back to James chapter 1, verse 25. But the person who looks intently into the perfect law, not forgetting what he has heard. And it's the perfect law that gives freedom, and we must continue to do this. I'll ask you a question. I'm going to give you a chance for a good laugh here. Let's see, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. I'm 55 years, 8 months, and 3 days old today. Now, I want you to imagine that if I had looked in the mirror 25 years ago today, shaved, combed my hair, straighten my shirt, and I had never looked in the mirror since then, Betty, what kind of a mess do you think I'd look like? Pretty bad, huh? That's why James tells us we must be ones who look into the perfect law of God and continue to do this. It's not a one and done. It's every day, every day, every day, every day. Look into the mirror of God's word. What happens when we do that intently on a regular, ongoing basis? If we'll not forget what we have heard and read, but do it, we will be blessed in what we do. I don't know about you, but the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I realize how much I need His blessings. How much I need His presence in my life every day. There's not one single task I undertake that I do not need the presence of Christ and the blessing of Christ. Even the so-called things that we think don't relate to church at all, in all honesty, they do relate. I've had a few people ask me, why are you bothering to substitute in the school? It doesn't pay you well to be a substitute. Well, I said, yeah, a little extra money here and there. Friday was wild. I substituted for one of our coaches for half a day. You talk about the strangest subbing schedule I've ever had. I showed up, watched a class for 20 minutes. Then they all went to lunch. Then was the prep period for the teacher, but I had to be there. We did an evacuation drill. That was fun. And then I had the junior high football players in a class, and they wanted to go outside, but were told no. Then I had to go to the weight room at the high school. Lord, oh, ladies, you would have died. That locker room was bad. It didn't stink. It stank. Oh, Lord, it reminded me of my days going to church youth camp as a counselor with a dorm full of boys, but it was like that about 80 times worse, okay? Now, the reality of it is, I didn't do that just because they pay me a little. I didn't do that because I had all the time in the world. I did that because I hope to plant seeds in the hearts and minds of young people and even the staff that I'm around. The truth is, when I go into something like that and I have looked into the mirror of God's Word and I've made sure that spiritually I am as prepared as I am physically, I may at times get a bigger blessing out of it than they do. Amen? So if you're one this morning who says, Pastor, I've been doing this and I want to keep doing it, I want to continue to look into the mirror of God's Word on a more regular basis because I want every blessing that God has for me. I want you to stand with me this morning. And here's the thing. Blessings do not equal money.
Amen.
Sometimes the blessings come in the form of money. Other times it comes in the form of good health. Sometimes it comes in the form of your appliances don't break down as often. Sometimes it just comes with peace of mind and rest for the body. Amen? Don't tell God what blessings you think you need. Just be open to any blessing He wants to give you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Treva, would you lead us in prayer today for this as we wrap up this time together? Folks, we're going to dismiss this service, but don't be dismissed from the presence of God. Invite Him to go with you everywhere today. Amen?